pastor, and Brian wanted him to come and to preach a sermon here this morning. Since leaving, since retiring 4 years ago, then Larry has interimed at Wilmington, at Greenfield, and Hillsboro. Right now he's between. He serves as an assistant regional minister, and he is a pastor of pastoral care for Wilmington Baptist Church. And almost everybody knows him, so Pastor Larry, would you?
Thank you, Pastor, for letting me do this.
I love you, man.
I cannot tell you what kind of feelings I have right now and have had for the last 55 minutes and what I've had for the last 3 weeks since I found out this was going to happen. I can equate it to a groom waiting off in the wings, waiting to meet his lovely bride and making vows for a lifetime. Better than that, I can equate it to a room full of rockers and the cats trying to walk through there and not get the tail squished. And then to compound everything, to follow all this, beautiful music, and seeing what time it is. Thank you, Brian. That's one way of handling it. The deacons say you got to have a message on Christmas Sunday. Hey, scapegoat. and so I'm approaching this from another perspective of, you know, there's NASCAR and dragsters and others that talk about how fast a car can go from 0 to 60, you know, in what, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. But, you know, we can all go from 0 to 100 real quick. Step on the scales and it'll tell you. Or for some of us, we could go 0 to 200 in a short time. But I'll try to be as brief as I have an atomic fireball in my mouth. I want to be sure my sermon was hot. And that may be the only way that it's going to happen. But since Pastor Brian asked me, I mean, where do you go for Christmas? Where do you preach? I mean, there's just so much. Could we maybe preach a little and eat a little and come back and preach a little more to get the whole story in? No, we're not going to do that, even though there's a bunch of cookies and stuff out there. But I seriously, what I want to do is to continue. Well, the table's already been spread for me with the music. I love the music of Christmas. In fact, I wish we could have Christmas music a lot longer than what we do. My daughter, Allison, she starts listening to Christmas music on November the 1st. She wants to get the whole thing, and she can find... There are stations now that start playing music on November the 1st. Went to visit a lady Friday with Marilyn, and we were talking about Christmas, what it means, and she said, Pastor, there's something that I've noticed different this Christmas than previous Christmases. And once she pointed it out to me, I had to agree. She said, I don't think that out in the stores in other places, sometimes in towns and villages that do it, they play as much Christmas carols now as they used to. Because even when you went shopping, you could hear, you know, the Christmas carols in the Muzak. And she said, I don't think they do that now very much. I read yesterday that, you know, they did a survey of a favorite Christmas music. I don't know what the audience was, but it was Billboard, which is nationally, if not internationally known. Excuse me. And the most popular Christmas piece of that survey was Silent Night. I was glad to hear that. Second to it was Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And that's really what I will say to my wife, Marilyn. Well, a long time ago, we stopped buying presents for each other on Christmas. We still do it for our kids and grandkids and others like that, but we stopped that. So now, honey, that's all you're going to get, and that's all I want. But what about you? Does music fit into your scheme of things for Christmas? Do you love Christmas music? Just nod or you know, shake your head no if you don't. And I'm sorry if you don't, but I'm going to talk about music for the next few minutes because it's very prominent. And I never really realized it. And after Pastor Brian asked me, I almost immediately I went there. I mean, honestly and obviously, I knew the cantata was going to sing, and I was hoping the bells were going to play, and then I had that as a surprise of the children singing. But it is part of, it's a very large part of the Christmas story, the original Christmas story found in the Gospels. Thank you. Well, how many years ago was it on Christmas Eve? Of course, this church has the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service, and we were going to have communion that night. And I was starting to feel some symptoms of getting sick, okay? Which for Marilyn and I, that was customary. It seemed like we always got sick, if not Christmas, right after it. I don't know what to attribute that to. But this Christmas Eve here, probably around 2010, 2011, we were having a very beautiful Christmas service. And, of course, it's music and scripture and then, as I said, the Lord's Supper. And so I was standing here, and I don't know if I'd started preaching yet or not or giving the devotion. And all of a sudden, guess what, folks? I mean, it went. It went. And John was sitting, I don't know, somewhere back there, and I said, so John Green came up here, and he said, what do you want me to do? I said, finish it. It's yours. I have nothing else to give. I barely could talk to tell him what to do. So, but music is very important in the Christmas story, and I just want for a few minutes to emphasize that. And let me read from the Gospel of Luke, obviously, chapter 2, begin with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and ponder them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Singing. Did you notice? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, were they singing or not? I think they were. And then the shepherds returned glorifying and what? And praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. But let me point something else out to you. I'm not going to take time to read it for you now, but go back just a couple of pages or so before that, and you will see, first of all, that Mary sang a song of praise, of blessing, after she learned that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And then we find in Luke chapter 1, 67 through 69, Zacharias sang a song about the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And then here, of course, we have the angels praising God. And then we have the shepherds praising God. What is the message we find here, folks? Christmas is about praising God. I want to go back to another passage of Scripture real quickly. I'm not going to preach from it, but I think we need to read it just for context of what does it mean for us to praise God, and why should we praise God, especially now at this Christmas time? It's Psalm 98. And do you know that Psalms actually is a song book? It's the Hebrew song book. And for many of us now, when we want something that will speak to our situations and our circumstances, and we want to touch God, and we want God to touch us, we go to the Psalms. If you don't believe that, you haven't heard Psalm 23, have you? The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. So this is the book of songs. So let me read for you real quickly these verses from Psalm 98 as we think about praising God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst in the jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Oh, we are called to praise God. And the psalmist says, let everything that what has breath praise the Lord. And it also tells us God inhabits the praises of his people. But I want to pose something to you this morning. Many times when we're talking about praise and worship, that's the way we say it, is it not? We say praise and worship. I want to propose to you this morning, that's backwards. I think it needs to be, ought to be, should be, worship and then praise. Think about it. Think about the Christmas story, if you will. The angels, they came as messengers of God, and they came to give the message of God to the shepherds and to the entire world. I came across this little short devotionette, is what I'd call it. And I want you to think about it as, why, how could the shepherds praise God? Why should they praise God? Well, they're always in the presence of God, aren't they? But listen to what this author says. The angels called it good news. There came a time, at the best time, the right time, when the mighty Son of God turned his back on all the beauty and happiness of his forever home. And somehow, no one knows just how, he stepped out of heaven and entered earth as a baby. It must have seemed a long way between heaven and earth. It must have been sad to leave such a glorious home. It must have made the angels wide-eyed and solemn to see the King they love and serve say goodbye and take that long step over the edge of heaven, down, 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 through black space to that little blue and brown planet where you and I live. Did the angels know that the man Jesus would have to die? Did they know that when he grew up, his strong, gentle hands would be nailed to a cross of wood? Did they know that their king would give up his life for all the wrong, hateful things you and I have ever done? Did they know these things? I think they probably did. But it wasn't long before they got to come to earth also. Late on a sleepy, star-sprinkled night, those angels peeled back the sky just like you would tear open a sparkling Christmas present. Then with light and joy pouring out of heaven like water through a broken dam, they begin to shout and sing the message that baby Jesus had been born. The world had a Savior. The angels called it good news, and it was. It still is, and I'm guessing it will always be. No wonder they praise God. They were the bearers of good news, of great joy that shall be to all people. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever lived, that ever will live, they gave the message, good news. There's a Savior that's been born, and he is Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord wants us to praise him. Someone has said true worship demands a medium of expression of love and adoration to God for his goodness and greatness. So you see, back to my statement, back to my theory, it is worship first and then it's praise. The angels experienced the worship of heaven before they came to earth to give their praise back to God. The shepherds, they were told the message. They heard the message. They welcomed the message. But what did they do? They went and with their very own physical eyes, they beheld this magnificent scene of this baby in the manger. And they connected the message that the angels brought to them. They connected it with the scene that they saw. And the Holy Spirit brought it to their minds and to their hearts. And they began to realize that they were the first ones to know about this Savior. And then what did they do? They went telling everyone. And then they went back glorifying and praising God. We've got something to sing about. We've got a message to tell. We've got a story that a whole world needs to hear. How important is it that we sing and we praise God? Well, it's important enough that the Apostle Paul gave it to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, we begin with verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, what? Be filled with the Spirit. And then here's why he says following that. Lots of times most of us stop there. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Music has always been an important part of this fellow's life. I grew up in a singing family. My mom and dad were part of a quartet as such back in the early days of my life. And our church was on radio live Sunday afternoon. Mom sang alto, Dad sang bass. And every Sunday afternoon, we would go to the radio station and our pastor, Brother Vaughn, would preach a sermon, but the quartet would sing. I grew up singing with the family. I grew up in the churches that loved to sing. I grew up loving all kinds of music, but especially Southern gospel music. I've grown up praising God with my lips, with my voice. But you know what? There's been two times in my life that I've been told to shut up. To not praise God. I'm serious. Two times. You know where the first one was? Israel. You know where? Bethlehem. You know where? In the Church of the Nativity. You know when? After going down to that site that says this is where Jesus the Savior was born. I was with a group of 20 black pastors. I was the only white boy there. And it wasn't crowded like it was this time, Howard. I mean, this time we went to Church Nativity. And we waited an hour and a half to get to that spot. And when we got to where you go down, it's a grotto down underneath the altar. But when you get ready to go down in there, it's like a funnel of a spout. Everybody just starts flowing in. You've been standing in line, but now you start flowing in. It's just like water going down a spout. And then suddenly you're there. The star is there. The lights are there. The sacredness of the spot is there. Well, we were there in January of that year, of 1997. And we were the only ones in the whole building. Praise God. And when you get down there, you typically just stand there. And you may even kneel there. You may want to fall flat on your face there to realize this is where my Jesus was born. But anyhow, we went down there and everybody got quiet. But then you come up the other side, up the stairs to come out on the other side. Now let me give one fact here that you need to realize. This is a church that's got three altars. All the way over to the right altar is the Greek Orthodox. In the middle is the Roman Catholic, and to the left is the Armenian altar. Three churches that are represented there in that Church of the Nativity. You go down on the Greek Orthodox side, you go underneath the Roman Catholic altar, and you come back up the Armenian altar. We were coming up the Armenian altar, and again, I was with black pastors. And after experiencing that moment, that spontaneous moment, and realizing the history and the spirituality of that, God began to move in my heart and move in my life and move in my mouth and move in my mind and move in my feet to the point that I wanted to praise God. And so I started out humming. Guess what? It touched a brother to my right here. Except he didn't hum, he started singing, "Oh, holy night." And I started singing, we both got it. And the time we got to the top of the stairs, we were letting that thing rip. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels. And all of a sudden, from over at the Greek Orthodox side was this little Arab man, come right over, going like this, real wild and crazy. And we said to our director, what does he want? He said, I'll find out. He comes over and he starts talking to the director. And he says, no seeing, no seeing. And we said, why? Because the Armenians don't believe in music and singing. Have you ever been so inspired that you wanted to praise God and tell somebody to tell you, shut up? One other time, my brother John was with me. We went to Louisville, Kentucky to the National Quartet Convention. Let me set the picture. It's in a huge arena of seats, 20,000 people, and the arena was packed for this night. It is 6 solid hours of singing. 15 different family groups, quartets, trios, solos, and so forth. Singing some of the best music this side of heaven. And I've paid good money to be there. I've looked forward to it for a year. And I'm sitting there. To my right is my sister Betty, and to her right is my brother John Green. To my left is a lady I don't know. It's 6 o'clock, time for this to start. And I'm ready to burst forth and praise God. When I'm in a concert and I know the music, I sing along. So if you don't want me singing, don't sit with me. Okay? So I'm sitting there, and it's 6 o'clock, and the music's is just getting started. And I tell you, it's driven. I tell you, it's just moving. And I start singing a little bit. I don't sing real loud, but I sing. Lady next to me, would you please stop singing? I paid to hear them. Did you ever try to start a fire and get it going real good and then somebody pour water on it? To say that my spirit was quenched is putting it mildly. Well, folks, let me tell you, to close this, to wrap this up, we better learn to sing. Because you know what? We're going to be doing a lot of it in heaven. I like this passage in Revelation, the closing book of the Bible. So descriptive. Chapter 5, verse 6. John, the revelator on the Isle of Patmos, as a prisoner. And we don't really know how he looked or how he felt, but things were not good, okay? He was exiled for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, the Spirit showed up to John and gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here's part of that revelation. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. We know who that is. Standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. The lamb had 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are 7 spirits or of God sent out to all the earth. He went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Whew. I tell you what, that'd make a Baptist preacher shout. And I'm about to. 3 weeks ago tonight, I'll close with this. Marilyn and I went to Cedarville University. Put this on your calendar. You're not that far from there. It may take you an hour to iron 30 minutes at the most to get there. But on the first Sunday of December at 6 o'clock, you plan next year to be sitting in the Jeremiah Chapel on the campus of Cedarville University, because you are going to be blessed like you have never, ever been blessed before in your life. That Christian university pulls out all stops, and they use every part of their music department they got. Bands, choruses, orchestras, ensembles. They have jazz band. I mean, they have symphonic choir. They have symphonic orchestra. They have four harpists. Bling, 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 bling. They have an organ. It is the most fantastic Christmas display of music I have ever seen. Marilyn and I have been there about five or six times now. But we went three weeks ago tonight. And there's two traditions that I love about that program. I mean, they pull out the stops. They play mainly carols, but they'll play like Winter Wonderland and Sleigh Ride and some of that too. It's just a entertaining, very enjoyable, very, very gifted music. But there's two traditions that I would drive for, just these two traditions. There's two of the university staff that sing a duet. And I wish I could sing it with Stacy Bash. But she wouldn't want me to, and I better not ever try that. But look up on YouTube, 10,000 Joys. 10,000 Joys. It's kind of like, are you all familiar with Sandy Patty and Larnella Harris? Some of you? When they do... I've just seen Jesus, and he's more than wonderful. You know how that goes? Well, this is that plus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the good news. And I tell you what, it's one of these songs that builds, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And inside, you're just getting all stirred up. Not just emotionally, but spiritually. And then they wrap it up. It's fantastic. And guess what comes right after that? Handel's Messiah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For he shall reign forever and ever. And they have every piece of instrument and vocals that they've got. Everybody's on stage. And there are, Laura, how many will that seat? 3,000? Two or 3,000. That whole place is singing the hallelujah chorus. That's just a foretaste of glory divine. But as we close, let me add this note. You're really not ready to praise the Lord until you've worshiped. And the only way that you can worship is when you are ready, like the shepherds, like the wise men, like the 24 elders in heaven, like the angels, like anyone you ever read about in Scripture. Listen, when you encounter God through the living Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, you will bow down. You will humble yourself. You will recognize that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He lives and He reigns forever and ever and ever and ever. But only until you do that are you able to praise God. Because if you think that you are somebody without Him, if you think you can manufacture praise without Him, if you think that you can make your way and you don't need what God has to offer, my friend, you have no right to praise God, because God will be praised only by those who seek Him, believe on Him, live for Him, and follow Him, not just till death, but into eternity. So let me ask you this morning, very seriously. I don't know what you think about Christmas. Maybe you're just all about the trappings and the decorations, and you like the you like the white Christmases and rocking around the Christmas tree, or grandmother got run over by a reindeer, or I don't know. I don't know where you're at when it comes to music or when it comes to Christmas. It may be about the parties, in the family, and the get-together. And it may even be about seeing that little bitty baby in the manger that just touches your heart. But let me say something to you real honestly here. This is the message that we all got to hear. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that if we believe in Him, we shall never, ever perish, but have everlasting life. And lots of times we skip over that word, shall never, ever perish. You know what that means? That means absolutely, totally without God in your life. So let me ask you this morning very seriously. Are you ready? Are you ready to celebrate Christmas? Are you ready to praise God? If you've worshiped, if you are worshiping, if you will worship Him, and Paul says this, let me close with this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable act of worship. I find it amazing that most of the world finds it an inconvenience that we would even talk about salvation and the need for salvation, that we talk about Jesus as being the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I find it very upsetting that the world thinks they've got everything figured out and they don't need God. But my friend, it doesn't take anyone any older than a preschooler to look at our world and know that it's in a mess. And there's only one person that can fix it, and that's the one who created the world and the one who loved us enough to give His only Son. And I tell you this, I hope you're with me, I will not ever live without Him again in my life. Therefore, I'm going to praise Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. glory. To you be all the glory. To you be all the glory. Christ. Lord. God bless you.